Richard and Barbara were members of my church in Illinois. They had three beautiful small children. I baptized their youngest daughter. At the time, Richard owned the largest travel agency in the United States and was wildly successful. One weekend, Richard and Barbara invited four of their best friends to fly with them to Paris on the Concorde. Didn't invite me. Stay in the best hotel, eat the best food, and come back. But after I knew him for a couple of years, I learned that his business was in distress. He began to make some unwise decisions and finally made some illegal decisions. He was arrested for business fraud and sentenced to 8 years in the Illinois state prison system. All during the time that he was in prison, I corresponded with him and visited him several times. He finally was released and he moved to Florida, where his wife had gone to begin a teaching career. In Florida, over time, he built a new business and for the second time was unusually successful. But when the economic downturn came in 2008, his business began to lose steam. And so once again, unwise decisions, illegal decisions, he was arrested and sentenced to 3 years in the Florida prison system. All over time during these years, I have corresponded with him. And since he was released from prison in Florida last October, we have talked on the phone every couple of weeks. On Monday of Holy Week, I got a text message from him. He talked in the text message about how many people he had failed and how many people he had hurt, including his own wife and children. And then he concluded his text message with these words, "I will never be able to forgive myself." And then he added as a postscript, "If you want to know how I feel, read Psalm 38. So I whipped out my trusty smartphone and went to the YouVersion app, which is a translation of Scripture. There are 10 or 15 or 20 different translations. And this is what I found. My YouVersion took me to Eugene Peterson's The Message. Here's how Peterson translates Psalm 38. "Take a deep breath, God. Calm down. Don't be so hasty with your punishing rod. Your sharp pointed arrows of rebuke draw blood. My backside smarts from your caning. I've lost 20 pounds in 2 months because of your accusation. My bones are brittle as dry sticks because of my sin. I'm swamped by my bad behavior, collapsed under gunny sacks of guilt. Lord, my longings are sitting in plain sight. My groans, an old story to you. My heart's about to break. I'm a burned out case. Don't dump me, God. My God, don't stand me up. Hurry and help me. I want some wide open space in my life." Since I received his text message on Holy Week, I was haunted by what he said, "I can never forgive myself." And I thought about two of the central characters in the Holy Week drama, Judas and Peter. Both committed absolutely despicable acts. This morning, I would like to talk about them, and first I would like to talk about Judas. And I want to ask you, if you can, to engage in a little mental exercise, to wipe your mind clean of everything you've ever heard about Judas. Because I'm going to be Judas's press agent. And if I do well, maybe you could recommend me to Donald Sterling. He could use one too. First off, we know that Judas was an honest man trusted by his colleagues. Do you remember? He was nominated to be the treasurer of the group. The disciples didn't have much, but whatever they had, they pooled into a common fund, and they trusted Judas enough to watch over their funds. Secondly, he was a patriot. He was a member of the Zealot Party, that party that wanted to overthrow the stinking Roman tyranny. The Zealots had a vision that by hook or by crook, they would drive the Romans out of the Holy Land. If Judas had been living in 1776, he would have stood up with Patrick Henry and others crying out, "Give me liberty or give me death." I think Judas joined the disciple band because he had a vision that it was Jesus and his followers who would overthrow the Romans, that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, the second David, the one who would restore all of Israel's hopes and fortunes. Judas had followed Jesus through Galilee, where his message spread like wildfire to the common folk. They were ignited to follow Jesus throughout his journey and finally into Jerusalem at Passover time. And it was there, in Jerusalem, at Passover time, that Judas felt the time was right for the revolution to begin. And Judas sees himself as part of God's plan. He sees himself as the one who will force Jesus into action, to lead his followers against Rome and, who knows, perhaps even call down a band of angels, to support them in their revolutionary cause. And so, he goes to the high priests, and he reveals to them where Jesus will be on a certain night. And for his efforts, he's paid 30 pieces of silver. He has to convince the high priest that he's a mole, that he's been planted in the disciple band so that he can reveal to the high priest and all the authorities where Jesus is. The plan goes well. On Thursday night, in darkness, the high priest and the temple guard come by torchlight. They find Jesus in an olive grove in the Kedron Valley, and in a pre-arranged signal, Judas kisses Jesus, thus revealing his identity. Jesus is arrested and taken off. But from that moment on, Judas's plan begins to unravel. The next morning, when the word spreads that Jesus has been arrested, there is no uprising. People cower in fear, as do Jesus' disciples. The strong hand of tyranny has worked again. And so when Judas realizes that what he has done has led to Jesus' arrest and to his ultimate execution, he goes back to the high priest. He takes the 30 pieces of silver and flings them at their feet. He tries to defend Jesus before them, but it is to no avail. And so, in despair, he goes out and he hangs himself. The word betrayal in Greek really means to hand over, that Judas handed over Jesus. And then there's Peter. At least Judas only betrayed Jesus once, Peter three times. You've heard the story, you know it by heart. And so we have these two characters. We have Judas, who is so ashamed, so unwilling to believe that what he has done can be forgiven, that he ends his own life. And we have Peter, whose act was just as bad, but somehow or another, in trust and in faith, he finds restoration. How we would love to know what happened between the time when Peter denied Jesus and the time that the resurrected Lord met Peter on that first Easter Sunday. Maybe I like this story so much of Peter and Judas and Richard because it rings so true of my own experience. For whatever reason, I have always been harder on myself than I've been on other people. Over the years, I've been able to forgive absolutely everybody who has wounded me. Sometimes it has taken a long, long time, and sometimes it has only come through long seasons of prayer. And sometimes it comes after praying, "Lord, forgive him, rotten skunk that he is." Strange that I could forgive others more readily than I could forgive myself. And I've learned over time that there are just some of us who are so hard on ourselves. I don't have any magic formulas to give you this morning about forgiving yourself. It's a hard, hard process. But I have three thoughts to leave with you. Here they are. Stop breathing life into the past. It died for a reason. Let it go and move on. Just because you've made mistakes doesn't mean that your mistakes make you. Let them go and move on. Dwelling on bad decisions you've made in the past, only allow those decisions to keep defining you. Let them go and move on. Ernest Hemingway has a short story about a father and a son. They have an awful quarrel, and because of that, the son decides to leave home. But his father is not willing to let the estrangement continue. And so he places this ad in a Madrid, Spain newspaper. It reads, "Paco, meet me at the town square Sunday at noon. All is forgiven." That Sunday, at noon on the town square, there were 800 Pacos who gathered there to seek forgiveness from their father. Today, some of us need to take a journey to the town square. And when we go there, we will find a father whose heart is brimming with forgiveness. And to God our Creator, to Christ our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit our Comforter, be glory and honor, dominion and power this day and forever. Amen.